bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. My name's Ewan Rankin. We're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news. We're not that late. And we've got lip sync. I think I've fixed it, which means the chat room's probably just gone off. The chat room's actually telling me to remind me to press record because I didn't press it during the photo show. But crisis averted, I managed to download it.
Ouch.
I've got it. Sorry. Justin TV. We've actually found a useful use for Justin TV, which was it happened to record the photo show perfectly. So there will be a photo show this week. Joining me to discuss the Mac news, we've got a very eclectic panel. Starting off, New Boy. Six of the best with a cricket bat by the end of the show, otherwise you're not initiated. It's Paul Kirkle.
Hello.
Now, you're an iPad artist and lecturer in art.
I am, yeah.
Guildford College, aren't you, mate?
Yep.
So, just for everyone, you come and drink beer with us regularly, and you come to Elmug regularly with us.
Oh, not regularly enough, sadly. But yeah, no, I do love doing it, yeah.
Absolutely. And we've got some interesting stories this week that I thought you would be absolutely perfect for.
Mm, yeah, I know it's been a great week for art apps and art, and you know, art companies as well. So, yeah, it's a good week to come on.
Excellent, mate. So, well done. Debut under your hat when you finish.
Thank you much.
Next to him from the Mac Observer, it's Jeff Gamet.
And thanks for having me back on. I'm always amazed when I get invited back to shows.
No, you're great, mate. Cheers for coming along. It's thank you for stepping in and saving us from the absence of Will Green, who dropped out at the last minute yesterday. So.
I've got your back.
I know, mate. Thank you. Beneath him, it's Kelly Gamont in unchoppy vision with lip sync.
Hey, everybody.
Did you see that? When she spoke, her lips moved. Yeah, it's perfect.
If I got any better at lip sync, I could be Milli Vanilli, right? I totally just dated myself with that reference,
yeah,
I know.
Milli Vanilli, yeah. There's lots of people around now that can't sing. They should fit right in. How you been, girl?
Not too bad. Week.
Artwork up in the room.
Yeah.
Slowly coming like home.
Some nice, yeah, it's starting to look like people actually live here. It's kind of awesome.
I'm getting people telling me that I'm on the wrong show. Have I said the Big Show or something?
Because your badge says Big Show.
Oh, I forgot to change the badges.
Yeah.
Oh, bugger.
Oh, we don't need no stinking badges.
I did all the masks look. But I forgot to change the sodding badges.
I was so excited for once to have a sticker that said big.
That's the only thing that comes up big in England, mate. And next to her, joining us, because I completely cocked up last week. I'm awfully sorry, Adam. Adam Christensen, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm all right. I take it that the word cock up doesn't really go over in the States.
No, it's fine.
Because everyone laughs when I say it. I made a complete cock up.
I was laughing at last week's scheduling.
I'm crap at this. I need, since Carl did it, it's for the wheels falling off. Thank you for taking my call last night on the Big Show, mate. That was kind of cool.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
It was, absolutely. Even though you called screaming, you git.
I will PM you my actual number if you'd like.
No, I'll wait till I'm out at Macworld next week and you ask me if I want a beer. I'm going to get someone else to ask me. You have to talk through an interpreter. And last but by no means least, on Unchoppy Vision with Lip Sync as well, Dr. Happy Mac, who's on mute.
Hello, everybody. Simulating lip sync.
Oh, you're nearly there, mate. You're nearly. Now you've got you in HD vision instead of blocker vision. It shows that you haven't shaved as well, unfortunately.
This is actually supposed to look like this.
Yeah, it's an old man beard, mate. I get those until it's about 6 weeks in. And then it looks better.
I have to. It's harder to keep it like this than it is not to have it. It turns out frustratingly, annoyingly.
Okay. Good man.
I'm in the shed this week. Back in the shed.
Good. Glad to hear it. So you should be. It's a good old size, isn't it? Brilliant. I hope everyone enjoyed the curtain rolls there on the video show. Super.
Yeah. There's nothing like audio in a podcast and moving the camera
around. No, nothing like it at all. No, absolutely. We've had a review. Thank you to anyone who writes reviews. We do read them all out, every single one. If you'd like to leave us a review, stick it in iTunes. And thanks to Will Green's fantastic Common Cast app that he recommended. I get them now, so I don't have to go trolling for them. This one's from Boyd Online, who says, makes me laugh every time I watch the show. Feels like it has about 40% of Mac content, and the rest is just a tangent. But that's the appeal. Actually, very informative and a must if you like your Mac. Very good host, Ewan Rankin, who never lets things get too serious, and a good range of regular guests. Regular guests, and even the irregular ones are fun. So there we go. Right, if you'd like to send it through, then please put us a review in iTunes. I'll pick it up and I'll read it out. It's very kind for those, and it makes a massive difference to our ranking as well. Right, the week in Macintosh news. We've not had anything directly, but there's been quite a few peripheral stuff that's kind of gone on. We kind of vented our spleen a bit last night about Adobe killing the packet and going for the cloud instead. Is there any Mac specific kind of angle to that's worth kind of picking up on, or is it? Did we kind of cover it last night?
Well, do we still know what percentage of Adobe's market is Mac? I mean, obviously, Photoshop is regarded as the de facto Mac image app, but in fact, most of their customers are Windows customers, aren't they? By a long shot.
I think the split probably when they started was a lot more Mac, but I'd guess now that it's got to be Windows by some distance.
Yeah, Adobe doesn't give out those numbers, as far as I know.
No.
But they do have a very significant number of Mac users. We just don't know how many those are.
I think that the advantage is going to be to Mac owners, or the advantage for Mac owners is that there's probably a more easy to access and thriving developer community. If you wanted to come up with an alternative to Photoshop, I suspect on the Windows side of things, it's just kind of like flogging a dead horse. But on the Mac side of things, I think that the market is far more receptive if you want to say to people, you know, through the Mac App Store and things, this is the new Photoshop. If you're Pixelmator or Acorn or any of the other apps, this is your moment on the Mac side, I suspect.
I think there's a lot to that. I think part of why I think Adobe's doing this, and I don't know that they have said this, but any study that you look at, no matter how the data gets sliced, Photoshop's the number one stolen piece of software anywhere. So I think that might have something to do with why they did this. The thing that's going to be interesting to see, in my estimation, on top of is Pixelmator going to get a lot of attention? Is Acorn going to get attention? If you are looking at releasing something that does some of these things, are you looking at doing that? The thing that I think is going to be sort of fun to watch is how this actually affects Adobe's user base, because they're still going to sell Elements, which is the $99 version of Photoshop. It's not going anywhere. So I'm going to want to see how that turns out, but also how many people just stay with CS6 and go, you know, I bought this and I want to get my money out of it and I haven't yet. And I know a number of people have tried to slice and dice and say, you know, if they come out with something every 2 years and it's $1,200 every 2 years, that's the same $600 a year you're paying now. And if you can't afford it, you know, but you say you're a graphic professional, then either you're not charging enough or you're doing it wrong, you know, one or the other. And I think when Office did it, it was less heinous somehow. And I think that was probably because a lot of people were, like with Office 365, I think a lot of people sort of feel like that's something that they need to pay for or that they feel like they can get along without. And a lot of people feel sort of trapped by this because for some reason they feel like Adobe has sprung this on them. And I don't really think that's true.
No, I mean, only if you were blind.
Yeah, I think they were willfully not paying attention, and then when it happened now, it's just one of those things where I think it's been, what, like a week since the internet outrage machine was good and revved up about something, so this made as good a target as anything, really. So it'll be interesting to see how successful they are with it, in my estimation, because I think this is going to be one of those things like what made the iPad really successful. If people are just honest about what it is they actually use Photoshop for, and if it's red eye reduction and rotating photos, you know, you can get that out of Preview for nothing, and yeah, you don't need Photoshop for that. It's one of those perceptions, like if you're going to do anything with images, you need Photoshop, the way people used to think if you're going to type anything on your computer, you needed Word. And at least on the iOS side specifically, that has changed. And as people get more honest about the actual needs that they have, a lot of people have found that they can get by with an iPad as a computer. I think a lot of people are going to find out they can get by with Preview, with iPhoto, with, what is it, $40 or $50 worth of Acorn or Pixelmator. And that's going to be it. I think this may be really good for a lot of people's wallets, and it may end up being not so good for Adobe. We'll have to wait and see.
I think that's exactly it. I mean, I certainly fall into the category of Adobe's been my crutch more than anything else. And for the last 10 years, it's been the only thing that I've ever used. So, productively and professionally. And this week has really made me realize I could have got away with Photoshop 7 from 2002 quite happily up until this day, because 99% of what I do is correct for colors, correct for levels, correct for skew, etc. So I'm Acorn 4 all the way now.
I must say the other thing that I noticed was, and is because back in my previous career I used to live all day in Illustrator. And as an illustrator, it's like, it's your job and it's a professional tool and you use it. But if you're using a professional tool all day, every day, and you're creating with it, it's really nice if you enjoy it as well. Mm. And it's fun to use. And I always, right back from Illustrator 88 when I started using it, I was used to love drawing things in Illustrator. But after CS3, CS4 was the first version of Illustrator that it just stopped being fun to use. And it was just like, okay, I know what I'm going to draw. This program lets me draw it. I have drawn it.
They figured
it
all with all the tablets.
I think that now, you know, with this kind of like move by Adobe as well, a lot of artists may be looking at this saying, well, this tool that I've got that I don't have to use anymore, which never actually was much fun, this tool, this one that's crafted specifically for the Mac that doesn't utilize Adobe's ridiculously offensive Air interface, this is one that not only can I use, I actually enjoy using it.
The problem with Illustrator is I've always found it to be the most uninteresting software to use, and it feels like an art meets accountancy piece of software. Photoshop is more different. I like that. But Pixelmator, I love to pieces, and I think this is where Pixelmator is going to step in to it. And funnily enough, this week it's had a massive update, which was released a couple of days ago on the App Store. I wonder if it's just really good timing. And Acorn 4 was released this week as well. So in their respect, I wonder if they knew it was coming, because it's really good timing for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a done deal now. I think it's the beginning of the Quark end without the guy that's driving the ship, as Jeff pointed out last night. Batwinch has said in the chat room, this could be a return for Quark.
Mm.
Yeah, they learned loads from their loss.
I don't think so.
No.
People aren't that stupid.
Yeah, no.
That ship sailed.
They're not climbing on that ship twice, no.
I tell you what, the interesting thing for me is, this, in a way, they're taking a little bit from the computer games model, which is always on DRM. And SimCity, when it came out recently,
it's not always,
you had to have... Well, there is an aspect of that to it.
No, it's not always on. You basically, once you register with it and you load it to your system, it looks for a verification every 30 days. But if it doesn't get that verification for 180 days, you can still carry on using it. And then,
yeah,
180
but you still
days,
need an internet connection or whatever. I mean, there's still an internet cloud expectation that you are participating.
Yeah, but it's not always on. That's
no,
the point,
yeah,
right?
I know that. But there is
it's 180 day minimum
at the moment.
I don't think that's going to get a lot shorter, because I think they do realise that people go away. To be honest, there's a lot that if you look at what you get for your £27.99 a month, there's a hell of a lot in there. I mean, you're getting a lot more than the value of the stuff spread over a period of time with constant updates. The value is really, really good. It's just that do I really want to break the chains now, or do I want to stay locked in and keep walking towards the salt mines? That's the thing. Who's got someone's got a bump that's going on constantly, a block sound. Is it me? But I can't see what it's coming from, because I'm only using one computer.
It looks like your camera's focusing and unfocusing. Almost looks like a camera focus thing.
That wouldn't be doing it, though, because that's... Oh, bugger me. Where's... Where's focus? It's not an autofocus, you see. It's the thing.
Yeah, weird. That's what it looks like it's doing.
It sure shouldn't make the bump, though, should it? That's the block bump off Mac. It might be me, but I don't think it is. Oh, well. Other stuff then. Adobe have released a whole pile of, a digital ruler and a smart stylus.
They haven't actually released them. They just showed off what they've been working on.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Is this to try and divert and offset from the bad news?
Well, it certainly can't hurt. For me, this was the coolest announcement they came out with. And after seeing the video and reading the information that they had about Mighty and Napoleon, I ended up just having to contact Adobe and get more information about these. And I think what Adobe has done is realized that you can take a stylus and turn it from an accessory into a peripheral. And that's what they're doing with this stuff. And that's, I find this to be really exciting.
It is.
I am really looking forward to seeing this come out in some form.
If there's a tie-in with the cloud, Creative Cloud, then I might be forced to go in and just say, that's the fit I'm in. I mean, Paul, you've got to be nearly wetting yourself looking at those.
I like this a lot. I absolutely want to play with this very much. And I'm doing an Adobe event on June the 4th. So I've been in touch with everybody that I know at Adobe and saying, is it going to be there? And if so, I am playing with it there. The interesting thing, though, is I quite like the idea of the Creative Cloud transmission. Because if you've got Bluetooth happening and you're drawing on a tablet, to be able to launch it into the pen and launch it into a phone or onto your Mac if you need to, or your desktop, that looks good to me. I like that idea. That the artwork is somehow sort of like transmissible through the pen. So that I like a lot. The only thing that worries me slightly is the pen itself looks based more on the Pogo mode, which is a soft rubber tip, than the Jot mode, which is a hard plastic disc. And that concerns me a little bit because when you're using a soft rubber tip on a touchscreen device, the rubber tip automatically takes away some of the pressure sensitivity before you even start. So I will be pressing I like the Pogo more than the Jot, but there's a certain amount of pressure you've got to press down before it even accesses and shows any movement.
Right. Someone said yes when Paul was talking there. Was that you, Adam?
No, that was me.
All right, Jeff. What you were just about to reinforce.
Yes. Oh, okay. So the deal is this pen will store information, and it's smart enough to be able to figure out what data you have and then let you use it appropriately on different iOS devices. And the being able to link it up with the cloud and so you have this data that's available all different places, and it's just, this to me looks like something that's more than just a pressure-sensitive stylus. I think for artists, this has the potential to be an empowering new tool and a totally new way for us to think about the way we use a stylus with an iPad.
I'm jazzed about the ruler thingy.
So talk us through the ruler then, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what. I mean, I just briefly watched the video. Jeff can probably go into a little more detail, but what I was really impressed by is the little, it looks like it has little touch elements on it. So you can change between different tool sets. So, you know, you can lay it down and then with the pen, draw your line and it'll sort of lock your line into whatever mode you have it in. So if it's a straight line, you know, you put down the ruler and mark it where you want. But then there's also arcs and other kinds of elements. So be able to, you know, draw a perfect arc with a pen, that's always even can be really difficult. So for really accurate technical drawing, you know, we have a lot of great apps on the iPad for using a stylus to sort of freeform draw. But this looks like now I can use this stylus to actually do some pretty technical kinds of drawing. So I don't have to use, you know, handles and things like that. It seems like it's going to be more natural way of sort of like you can do drafting on your iPad now with a pen. So that seems cool to me.
That's really cool. Definitely. Any word on price, date, or is it a CES thing?
No. Adobe isn't saying anything about pricing, and they aren't saying anything about when this could potentially release. This is still prototype stuff. And And I asked them specifically about that. And they said, no, we don't have anything yet. The other thing they told me is that the stylus is designed so that you can use it left or right handed, even though it has that twist in the barrel. And then it's also going to be, at least for now, iOS only. They currently have no plans to develop this for Android or Windows. And they are looking at what would be involved and what type of interest there would be in APIs so that third-party apps could use these products as well.
Oh, blimey, that would blow the lid off. That could be superb. Question in the chat room for you, Paul, maybe, I guess. Batwinch says, what we need is a small nib pen that works on iPads. That would be so much better than the fat finger stuff that we've currently got. Does that translate into a real thing, or is it not important, or... Do you find that you want different size nibs and...
Well, nibs themselves don't actually matter. One of my favourite stylos is a stylus sock, which has got a really big end to it. But the way that you can physically move it in your hands allows you to change the shape of it on the screen. And it's my favourite one, that or a Nomad brush. Off of iOS devices, the S Pen on the Samsung or the Wacom style pens on the Surface Pro and on the Samsung Slate, they are fabulous because they are like Wacom pens. They've got a very thin, you know, almost mechanical pencil nib that you're pressing against the screen, but the Bluetooth sensitivity is taking it in. So actually there's nothing... The problem with iOS devices is you've got to press so much of your finger or stylus has to be seen against the screen before it register as a press against it, that styli are always fighting against this. How many pixels do you have to block off before it registers?
It's 4 millimeters.
Yeah, don't say, Jeff, you put in the chat room.
Yeah, it's 4 millimeters.
Yeah, which is, you know, in comparison to a Wacom pen nib, is huge.
Yeah, they're a mil across, aren't they? If that.
I mean, the closest ones to this thin point against the screen are the Jot pens or the Daggy pens, because they're a thin plastic disc that's transparent. So even though there is slightly over 4 mil pressing against the screen, you can see through it. So you forget that it's there to an extent because you're just seeing through the transparent disc onto the screen. But the problem with it is the Jot, after a few months of use, the transparent disc becomes floppy. It doesn't actually register so well against the screen. The DAG is much better, but even then, a certain amount of sensitivity that it works and then loses and diminishes over the time, I think because that it's a capacitive varnish on the disc rather than capacitive cloth or capacitive hair with the Nomad brushes. So we've just got nothing that is anywhere near as good as the S Pen.
You want to get out more, Paul.
Got a lot of style, I must admit.
With the Jot, you can order. I ordered a whole bunch of additional discs. It's not too expensive, so that helps with some of the sensitivity stuff. The other thing to know about the Jot, when I interviewed them and talked to them about sort of how it works, the app can make a big difference with the Jot as well, because Apple actually builds into the touch points. It actually moves where the actual line or point draws on your screen, I think up and to the left just slightly. And it's to compensate for your finger. Mm. So, because you can't really see. So a lot of the drawing apps, Jot developed their own APIs that sort of compensate for that. Because if you're using a Jot pen on a app that doesn't adjust for that, you can actually see, because you can see through that disc right down to the point, you can see the offset on apps that don't take advantage of it. So it's a real interesting thing when you're using that with an app that doesn't support, you know, doesn't have the software support or doesn't have that adjustment. Some apps adjust it themselves, so some drawing apps, because it tends to be less precise.
And also it depends which Jot you've got. I mean, they've just released a Jot 4, which I'm told has got a lot of pressure sensitivity. I've got a Jot 2, which hasn't. And it, you know, I quite like the Jot. It's not a bad stylus at all. I quite like the Jot, the capacitive Jot. It's fine. But by the same token, it's £90. and somebody said to me, do you want to buy a Jot 4 for another 90 quid? Well, no, I've got the Jot 2 and it's okay, but you use it against an S Pen and it's nowhere even near as sensitive.
Mm. Blimey. It's an art in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which one to blooming pick?
So, Paul, are you thinking about using a Samsung? Those are Samsung devices, right, with the S Pens?
Yeah.
So are you thinking about switching from iPads to Samsungs?
Well, I've got a Samsung. Artist? Yeah, well, this is the funny thing. I've got a number of devices that I'm more than happy to draw on and love drawing on. And I've got different apps on each one. So on the Samsung devices, Photoshop is fabulous. Infinite Painter is fabulous. Diddler is fabulous. And there's a lot of apps that really work. On iOS, there are a lot more apps that work. Artrage is brilliant. Procreate is fabulous. Brushes and so on. So it depends on the day. I mean, some days I come into work with a Samsung Galaxy in my bag. Other days I come with an iPad. I'm as happy to draw on each one, but each one has a different flavor. Each one brings something new to what it is that I want to draw. Occasionally, I'll be grumpy because I bought the wrong device in. But when I was drawing on a Samsung
Galaxy... Are you schizophrenic as well?
Well, I'm synapathic, but I'm not schizophrenic.
Weren't they on Star Trek?
No, synapathic is where your mind will jump from one idea to another. It's related to pearlescence. You know when you get a pearl shell and you twist it around in the light and the light moves up and down? Depending on the ridges. Synapathia is when your mind will go from different images and ideas without any sort of warning. You'll just suddenly think, oh, I know, I could draw this.
And my wife's been calling me a dipshit for years. Actually, I'm synapathic, darling.
Yeah.
I thought it was ADD.
My attention. Well, when I want to draw, I can sit and draw there quite happily.
He's an artist. He's got to have a classy word for it. He can't just do ADD or nutter.
Look, actually, that's
squirrel. Exactly. I prefer a stylus rather than my digit, says Batwinch. It's the way I roll. Don't care what SJ said. It's not about styluses. I think the thing to say is that Jobs was right, and I don't want a stylus to make a phone call, or I don't want a stylus to access my address book. But in terms of the drawing explosion that's gone on, stylus is definitely the cool thing. And it's different for Paul because this is his living. So he goes out and he buys. I mean, if you ever watch him open a pencil case, it's like an adolescent female at college, you know, who's got one, and it's got every pen that he's ever bought in there, whether it works or not. And that's what his bag looks like. But for me, that's the problem, is you tend to just go round. You need to bump into Paul and say, can I try, and find the one that you like, because it is really personal. I've got the brush, and I've got the big AluPen.
Yeah.
And I really like the AluPen for some reason. Mm. I don't know why. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just agreeing. The AluPen is nice. And and I have a box just full of styluses that I've tried, and it turns out one stylus isn't all you need when you're drawing, painting, or sketching on your iPad. You need multiple styluses.
Yeah.
Well, artists have always had multiple pens and tools and brushes and pencils and things like that. So it seems natural to me that would translate over even to the digital world. To a certain degree, you have different
and
tools
yet people
for different
seem surprised.
Kinds of feels and purposes and stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah. But people seem surprised if they say to me, "Which is your favorite stylus?" You know, it's like, "Well, which is your favorite pair of shoes?" You can pick one or not, and it doesn't work like that. I love the Nomad brush for particular. If I'm doing a painting, generally I'll use the Pogo Sketch Pro for outlines because it's thin like a glass pen. It's absolutely lovely to use. It's fragile. It's a fabulous stylus. I use a stylus sock for really quick blocking in. I use a Nomad brush for shading. And I've got loads of other ones, you know, the E-Stylo and the AluPen and whatever. But those are my three go-to styli. But Matthew Ross Hall, who's a Lumen Prize nominee, who's a fabulous artist, he loves the AluPen, and that is his favourite. Stefan Marjoram, who's a fabulous ex-Aardman director, now he works as the in-house artist for the Bloodhound Landspeed record. He loves the Daggy. Carl Lambert uses... We always use different styli because they're personal to us. So when I go and do events, if I go to a gadget show or Bet or whatever, I'll always take my pencil case because it's got £300 or £400 worth of styli. And you know, I always say to people, try it, find the one that works for you, because every person is different. Every stylus is different. You want to find the one that is so personal to you. Paul, yeah, like a knight and his sword.
Paul Kirkle's lending library.
Yeah.
We've had some comments in the chat room. Windrider reckons we should call this episode Stylus Fetish Anonymous.
Oh, yeah.
It's right there. And also, what was the other thing? Stationary porn.
Mm-hmm.
Stationary, not Harry.
So right. No one's bought borrowstyli.com or something like that?
Oh, did you, well, there's a lens, camera lens.
Yeah, I was thinking like borrow lenses.
I cover,
we need to borrow styluses.
There's a lens workshop thingy, a website, camera lens, L-E-N-D-S, and you can find a photographer in an area, not pack any of your lenses, turn up and rent his. What a great idea. Just covered it in the photo show. Superb. Well, we'll stay away from artwork stuff for a few minutes then and go back to it later on. iOS 7. Apparently, there's been an explosion in iOS 7 hits to various websites who can report it. And there was a little surge and then a dip and then a huge explosion at the end of April on the one that I picked up. Are we getting iOS 7 at WWDC, or are we getting Next Big Cat, or are we getting both?
We're getting previews of both.
Oh, you don't think so? Have you got the hot tip?
They're not going to roll them out yet, but we'll get previews because developers need time to update their apps for compatibility and to start working on new apps that take advantage of new features in the operating systems. So we'll get previews, and I'm betting it will be end of summer before we get the actual operating systems. So like about the time new iPhones roll out. So how about if I go on record and call it September?
Oh, okay. That sounds like hot information from the inside.
Mm-hmm. It may sound like hot information from the inside. It is,
just
however,
not. Just nod and smile, Jeff.
Jeff's,
oh, okay.
Jeff's guess.
Just go.
Yeah, just my guess.
I mean, I would guess if they're planning to release a preview, they'd like to be sure that it works reasonably well as a preview and to seed to developers. So I guess, you know, it's going to start showing up on the internet as Apple are fairly confident that it's a robust system, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's ready to go.
Didn't they drop the Golden Master, though, just before last year's event on, was it 6 or Lion?
Mountain Lion?
I thought they dropped the Golden Master out like the week before or the day before.
Because they did release Mountain Lion in July, if I'm not mistaken, last year. Was that when it came out?
Mm. That sounds right, because they announced it on the earnings call.
I'm going to be in trouble because I don't remember dates very well.
You're right.
Because I thought it was WWDC when they said we're going to do an OS release every year. And when following not long after June, I thought it was a July release, summer release of Mountain Lion. And then, so I was fully expecting if they stuck to that year schedule that we'd see 10.8, not 9, this summer. But I'm with Jeff. I think it's going to happen in the fall and we're just going to get a peek at it. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say Apple will do their classic thing and show us 10 features on each, 10 iOS 7 features and 10... 10.9 features, and that's probably what we're gonna get.
I think we'll get a developer release.
Oh yeah, developers
of iOS 7. So they're gonna say, you know, here's what's coming in iOS 7. I really wish they'd give them some nice code names so we could call them something nicer than iOS 7. And I think we're gonna get that at WWDC. I think part of the keynote is gonna be that. I don't know what they're going to do on the macOS side, but I think we'll definitely get a preview of it, and then they'll give it to everybody at WWDC.
Hmm.
If nothing else, I don't think it'll be ready for then. And yeah, Sir Johnny, he's only been on it for a little while. And I don't think Johnny Ive would go in and say, do you know what, just for this one, I'm just going to do a new skin on the top. He's going to go in and want to root and branch the whole thing. I think it'll be... I agree. I think it'll be 10 points at WWDC, and then it will come out with new phones or the new iPads.
I think I was talking about this last week a little bit. I think iOS 8 is going to be the one to really look forward to see.
Yep. Yep.
Once Johnny's moved in, yes, and lived with all of it. Like, 7's going to be nice, but I think 8's going to be the one that I really want to investigate and look at and play around with. So
possibly. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you, but when I was listening to it last week, I was thinking, yeah, but I can't see Johnny Ive doing a skin on something. He's going to want to go in there and do a serious operating system. And yeah, iOS 8 would be the one where it becomes the fulfillment of it. But I think, right, he's going to do something pretty serious with iOS 7, which is why I think they will hold it over till the phones come out.
Paul?
Yeah, Johnny Ives is not a looks like this, works like this guy. He's a looks and works the same way guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Someone's got a fan or something that keeps kicking in.
Not me.
It's just come on again.
No.
And then it went off a few minutes ago when someone did something, and it's come back in again now. There we go. It's gone now. Someone did something. Now it's back. Now it's back.
It's the fan on the Mac Pro.
Really?
Is it really?
I can't believe they put these things in recording studios. It's the fans on my Mac Pro.
Get it off the frigging desk then. And Paul, whoever's in the room, you tell them to shut up.
No one's in it.
Someone was making clattering and banging. Mm. It wasn't me. Not this time. Not this time. Samsung has allegedly been charged with making... Not Samsung, even Sharp, has allegedly been charged with making the new 5S screen. And they're going into production in June, which I just wanted to throw in there, Jeff, because I don't know if that is the right timescale or the wrong timescale for your September prediction.
I think that would totally fit, because they have to get parts ramped up. They have to get them to their manufacturing partners, and then they have to start building up inventory ahead of the official launch. So if this rumor about display production starting in June or possibly even July is accurate, I think that would fit in with the September launch.
So we're all running headlong into September for iOS 7 and a 5S.
Yes, and I think Apple will do what they have done previously, which is give us the new OS a couple days ahead of the new phone launch, so people can start learning it. Yeah, it's worked before. They'll do it again.
People can start realizing that their existing handset won't run it properly.
Well, brilliant. I think also part of it is because iOS phones home, it makes sense to stagger. I got I started on a 3G. The second iPhone they released was the 3G version, and I got that, and it dropped the same day as the operating system did for the previous phones, and that was I think that was the first time that everything was trying to phone home at once, and it didn't do well, and that was only with the 3G, which wasn't selling, you know, the kind of numbers that they sell now in a weekend. Like, they weren't selling that many iPhone 3Gs in a month. So they had trouble then. And I think, and maybe someone will correct me on this, I haven't had enough coffee yet. I think that since the 3G, like with the 3GS, they released the OS a few days ahead. And with the 4 and the 4S and the 5, the release of the operating system was slightly offset from the release of the new hardware.
Right.
And it's just because everything has to phone home, and that kind of traffic on everybody that walks into a store and buys a phone is hard on everybody's network. And so when you add all these people who are trying to upgrade their OS at the same time, it makes it impossible.
Okay. That sounds logical. I like that idea.
Was there not a story about that last week about, I think it was iTunes, somebody saying that when on Christmas Day, when everyone has opened their new devices and they start going into iTunes and downloading stuff. I'm sure somebody was talking about that on either the Mac podcast or something last week. They have a particular name for it, present week or something, where they draft everyone in just to make sure all the servers are running and all the data is able to be downloaded.
It's why they lock the sales charts right before Christmas. Yeah. That's why nothing goes on sale over Christmas. It all goes on sale like the week before Christmas, so everybody buys it, and then
EA tries to game the system.
They stay number one.
Yep. Yeah,
they stay at the top of the chart all over Christmas, the Christmas holiday. So, yeah.
Frigging the figures.
Pretty much.
The Keybit has been launched. This is a Kickstarter project for a little thing that holds a key ring that holds your keys that you can slot your adapter in for your MacBook Pro from the old to the new power socket.
Is this a problem for people?
That's what bothers me. I can't see what on earth would you want to carry it around for on a key ring. It's either on the power connector or it's not, unless you've got multiple MacBook Pros with you or something.
That's the MagSafe adapter in my hand there on the screen, which obviously later on in the podcast comes, but I'm holding the MagSafe 1 to 2 adapter, which is a tiny thing about the size of a Polo Mint or whatever. In the past, I've been known to misplace an entire car. So for me, this is godsend. But anything in my life, from this adapter up to family estate car can at any time go missing.
Have you put that on the key ring?
Have you actually contributed to this Kickstarter project in DHM?
No, but I'm definitely. I will be wanting one. I will be putting my bid into this. It'll be the first one I've ever done. Actually, I want one.
There you go. Customer number one.
What need do you have for carrying this around with you all the time? I guess that's my question.
And no, he's got one because he's because of the tech bit. So he turns up somewhere and he needs to.
Yes.
It's off. But I mean, a Kickstarter project for Dr. Happy Mac is not going to turn over 6,000 quid or something, is it?
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, what's the market for a product like this? This seems like very, very small number of people. So it's great that it exists, and I hope it happens for you, DHM, because then you're going to have the product you need. But it's going to be interesting to see if they make their goals.
I've just dropped it now, and I can't find it.
Maybe DHM is going to sign up for 2,000 of them because he's going to plan on losing 1,999 of them.
I don't know. I think I single-handedly support most of the internet's firewire adapters and cable industry because they're all in the shed somewhere, but none of them last more than a fortnight.
Well, the thing is now, what you've got to ask yourself is what's in greater jeopardy now that it's linked to his keys? The dongly bit or the house keys? Because actually,
He said he lost the car.
Yeah, exactly. So I fear for the key. I fear for the keys' lives.
As well. I'll have that on record. I have lost the keys as well.
No, I think Kelly's saying it's going to be like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. DHM's going to come back home and the entire house will be gone. There'll just be a big hole between two other houses.
Mind you, the MagSafe adapter is enormous when you compared to the Lightning to mini USB adapter. Mm. So I could do with one of those as well.
I tell you what, the amount of times I've misplaced or lost my VGA to iPad connector utterly, utterly infuriates me.
Yeah,
so if I could have one of those on the key ring, I'd go for that.
Dr. Happy Dongle. Dongle Happy Mac. We're already in with the stuff. Viber. Go on.
I was just going to say, we need like an adapter. Is it bandolier, the thing that you strap across
Chewbacca
slide
yes,
in all your favorite
adapters. I would do that as a Kickstarter, a Chewbacca-style chest bandolier.
Yes, okay. That's the thing.
The funny thing is, there's a company that's already making that.
Yes.
They sent me a sample. I have one of their gear bandoliers in my office, and I can't actually show it to you today. Yeah, that's it.
I was going to say, I know this doesn't exist because Kelly doesn't have one, but that doesn't apply anymore.
So Kelly's is black, mine is gray.
Kelly, you can't just hold it up, girl. You've got to put it on.
Okay, fine.
Stand up, and I need to see some ammunition in it as well, mate.
Okay, I'm going to pimp it for these guys for a minute because it was pretty awesome. The company is called Runner, R-U-N-N-U-R. Actually, it's the device. And that's what it is. It's a cool little thing. And what it's meant to be is, initially anyway, it's for people who jog and you want to be able to take stuff with you. But then they also were showing like people at South by Southwest and other sorts of like festival events where they clip a water bottle to the bottom of it. And then you can put your wallet in it and your phone and what have you. So let's see. I'll throw some stuff in here.
Yeah, so it's got pockets all over it.
Yeah. So there's my phone. Here's my Princess Leia flash drive. We'll throw that in here.
None of this is helping your image, girl.
No, not a bit.
Actually,
Mark and I have a Star Wars flash drive.
It kind of is.
None of this is surprising.
Exactly.
Well, should I show you that I also have a Stormtrooper and Boba Fett? Fett's limited edition, by the way. let's see. What else can I put? I've got a Sharpie. I'll put a Sharpie in the pen thing. So there. Am I appropriately geared up enough? You guys can like see.
Excellent. It's a little bit low on camera, but very good.
Yeah, I can't do much about it because I'm a little low to the camera. So
when you're short, everything's low to the camera. Jolly good,
yeah,
mate.
See? So these are super awesome. I really like that they've got the little clip on the bottom because you can clip your water bottle. Actually, I have a water bottle. You can clip your water bottle or whatever to it and keep it handy. Particularly like if you are in a situation where you don't want to carry a lot of gear with you. Like if I had a reliable way to carry my iPad and this, I wouldn't carry a bag. If I had some way to, like if it was just holding my iPad the whole time and then carry this around so I could have like a power cord and some other stuff with it, I would totally do that.
When was the last time you wore that out then, girl?
I actually haven't because I don't go very many places. So I can sit back and I haven't.
From
I don't
run room to the other.
She wears it around the house.
I go to Starbucks or I go to the doctor or something. I don't go like. I don't run. I'm not a jogger.
You so wear that to the doctors, mate. You get sectioned.
That's about it. So I don't have a lot of. I don't have a lot of opportunities to wear this, but I totally can see where it would be super convenient. And if I got the opportunity, I would totally take it with me.
Booker in the chat room is dispensing some great advice. He's saying here, are you silly woman? Do not trust Boba Fett with your data.
Why not? I pay him well.
Viber has released a desktop client for the Mac. Has anyone had a play yet? I don't know anyone on Viber to play with it.
You had to play with your Viber?
Vibrating. There you go. You could be vibrating. Has anyone had a go with it? Because the reason I haven't downloaded it and played with it is I don't know anybody on Viber. But it's supposed to work over 3G on your iPhone, so you could do exactly what you currently do with Skype.
Yeah, so what's the point?
Except it would work. Wait, what?
Ah, no, there's a thing. I don't know if Viber's any better than Skype or not.
Could it be worse?
I was going to say that.
Could it be
worse? That would be difficult.
Well, we're always complaining about Skype, aren't we?
Well, yeah, but look at...
Why are we, though? Because Skype works incredibly well for everything that it does. I mean, it gives us bits, but we push it to its limits. I mean...
Every podcaster.
I use it in my business a lot for just working with clients and sharing screens and things like that. And when it's, one-to-one, it's... pretty rock solid.
Well, I mean, it hasn't fallen over today yet.
I was going to say, what it's doing at the moment is pretty amazing, but we don't use an alternative because up until this point, there hasn't been an obvious alternative to use in the same space.
Any chat room? Has anyone actually ever used Viber? Because we can't... Well, no one's on the panels used it, no? Not even as a review copy, Jeff, or anything like that, no?
Nope.
I got a review copy of a free piece of software. Wouldn't even open that.
And therein lies the rub for all this... social media stuff and any tools like this, right, is unfortunately for these companies, they could develop the best and most amazing technology on the planet for doing this stuff, but if they can't get the users, then it's a moot point.
Mm.
Everybody I know is on Skype. They already have Skype, so it's just the easier thing to use. And I think it's even more ingrained when you're talking about communications tools and social media tools, right, because it's really hard to get someone to switch. And we've had this problem for years. Is I was at an office and they would only use Microsoft Messenger. So I have a Messenger account, but the only reason I have it is because this was this one situation, but I didn't use it anyplace else. And it was only happened because the guy who ran the department was a big Microsoft guy and he just mandated this is the tool everybody's going to use.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what people wanted to use. So, everybody's picked Twitter. Like, I keep coming back to Twitter. There's a bunch of other great social media stuff. Like, app.net is awesome. And I have app.net. Mm. But everybody I know is still on Twitter. So it's really hard to sort of make that jump. So it'll be interesting. I mean, Viber got a lot of buzz this week. But I was like, well, I don't need another account. And I don't know, like, exactly what you're saying, you. And I don't know anybody over there who's using it. So it's not even worth looking at. But it could be totally awesome. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, if it's free... as a client thing like Skype is, and you've got a specific usage case, like for a small environment just like this, I mean, it's easy enough for you and to say, let's test and run with Viber, let's see how that goes. And every, you know, I can see it being pushing into places like that, but I think for just off the cuff, you know, everyone, Skype's one of those things, it's almost like Google, like it's a verb, isn't it? You don't talk to someone over a messaging service, you Skype them.
Dear Jim, the fans kicked in again.
Fast.
But iBooker in the chat room did suggest that coming in September there would be new Mac Pros with louder fans.
Everyone, more fans.
Everyone in the chat room, I've asked them about...
The louder fans, that's on purpose, so that people don't lose their MacBook Pro.
Nice lose
and then what's going to happen to my Kickstarter where I make the thing so you can hook your Mac Pro to your keys?
And wear it on that belt. That's what that hook's for.
Still take off. Don't worry. I'll sign up, Kelly.
No one in the chat room has used Viber. No, nope, mate. No, yes, not yet. Batwinter said, I don't have Skype.
I did use Viber briefly a long time ago on my phone, but it was one of those things where like, oh, it's new and neat and I'll try it out. But like Ewan was saying, nobody was there. So I was like, there was like one person who didn't use it that much, but went, this is cool, you should try it. So I tried it and that was it.
Right.
So I haven't spent a lot of time with it.
Next week.
I like the idea.
Next week, we're going to do the Mac show using the new Viber Mac client.
Alrighty.
The wheel could
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong just before? The thing is, you guys are lucky. You've got to do it once. I've got to do it five times. I've got to create five accounts on five machines.
Oh.
It might not happen. Just stand by with Skype just in case.
Third world problem.
Download Viber and we'll try it. The last thing this week, then, is the Kivo lock. From Quickset. This is a lock that fits on your door and it's compatible with your iPhone 4S and 5. So basically, I think you've just got to flash your iPhone around and it opens. Hell no.
Yeah, no, definitely no way. The amount of times I run out of battery, I would be out of my house more than I was in it.
Wait, Dr. Happy Mac needs this, though.
It's an option.
Well, do you lose your phone and also with your keys in your car?
I've actually never lost my phone. Never. Any phone. Ooh. Right back from the day when I had an Ericsson.
I have. Lost it.
Never lost a phone. Ericsson T28 was a tiny little phone, which I bought because it was the smallest phone you could buy. Fully in the expectation by the time I'd left the shop, I would have lost it. But no.
The amount of times I've left the phone at the pub, says Saxon. Dr. Hovermack, says Windrider. Mm. And Batwench likes it as a lock. You could use the key or the phone, Kelly points out. Which you could say that as well.
It's just a bonus option.
Yeah. That once someone gets your phone, they're in your life. Like they are anyway, I suppose.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what are you doing on the 10th of June? Because allegedly there's going to be a keynote, and the London Mac User Group is a fantastic little bunch of people who get together in London. It's not that little, actually. I think we've had up to 150 at an event. And they have regular monthly meetings, second Monday of every month. If you want to join the group, you can go down and see all the stuff that they do. They've got some developers there from Google, and they've got Mac and Apple developers regularly. Attend. They'll give you support with your Mac if you want to. There's a Q&A session. They do special interest groups, and Monday night this week there's one of those going on. Turn that bloody fan off. And on June the 10th there's going to be a keynote from WWDC, probably 6 p.m. and the group is going to meet. They've got a fantastic venue. It's the Old Explorer pub near Oxford Street in London, and you can go there. You'll get a warm welcome. There's loads of people. There's an iPad on offer in the raffle. Yes, a whole iPad will be won during the raffle by somebody who buys the lucky ticket. It won't be me. I never win raffles. There you go. I don't feel bad about it. Or bitter. Steve Naber, the guy that comes on our show regularly, he's on the big show quite a lot, is the chairman of the London Mac User Group. He'll be there. Go up and say hello to him. You'll recognise him. And he'll join you up, and it'll be a great, fun night. And the beer at the place is excellent. They've got, what's that orangey beer? I can't remember it. Something Moon?
Blue Moon?
Blue Moon beer. Yeah, and it's really nice there. And they put a big slice of orange in it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is Blue Moon.
It is nice. Lovely. London Mac User Group, June 10th for the WWDC keynote, and you can win an iPad. Get yourself over there, because it's fab. I'll be there, and I'm going to be there on Monday night as well. If you're in London on Monday night, they're at the Old Explorer Pub for their meeting, and it's a special interest groups one. So there'll be loads of little key tables with specific topics that you can go and ask experts on. I do the photography one. There you go. this podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. We had a bit of an outage this week, and I forgot to fill the ticket in to tell them that the server had gone down, which is why it was off for a whole day. When I actually did bother to fill the ticket in and send it off, 30 minutes later, the site was back up. You get good service there. If you bother to take the service on, of course, that's the... in my defence, I opened a tab, I filled out the ticket, I then opened another tab for something else because I got an email had come in, and then the doorbell rang, and I never clicked send on it. And I closed the whole browser before I realised I hadn't sent it. So.
No.
Fortunately, I didn't ring up UK2 going, you buggers, what have you done? How am I supposed to say you're this good? I just said, I haven't got the ticket thing through. And they said, yeah, you haven't submitted a ticket. What are you on about? Oops. So, UK2 are great. Go to our website and use the sponsors page. Go through to their website then from that. And if you use that link through, we get kudos for the offer codes. And there's loads and loads of stuff you can do with them. I've just done a voiceover for their new service called Website Builder. And it's a brilliant, brilliant little application for helping you get your website going. You can have a website up and running in under a minute with this thing. It's superb. Not played with it yet. Just done the voiceover for it, but it looks great. Simple click. You can do shopping carts on it and that kind of stuff and e-commerce stuff. It all links in well. So there you go. Check out UK2. Watch what's coming soon because there is some exciting developments afoot with them, I can tell you. And they look after us, so that's really cool. Excellent. Right then. Okay. Cool things. Have you got any cool things? Mr. Kirkle, did you bring a cool thing?
I got several cool things, but they're all virtual. They're all online. It's RTAPs. This has been such a good week for art applications.
Paper's updated as well, hasn't it?
That's been fantastic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick it up on my blog, the reasons why they're all good. But Pixelmator, I love to pieces as a desktop piece of art, art application. The brush tool that you can paint with is the best that I can think of on any application. So Pixelmator 2.2, at the moment, it's 15 quid on it. It's on special offer, and it's fabulous. Paper has been updated, and yes, it's a very interesting update. I don't know at the moment which I like best. There's a free application called Flipping, which is like Paper, but everything that you've got in Paper that you can move with the ink pen and whatever, you've also got opacity and size options. So it is like Paper, but with much more that you can play with.
That came out as opacity and size and size options.
Well, you know, a size option on opacity is also quite good.
Some of the people in the chat room have just got excited.
Yeah, well, okay, fair enough. Autodesk Sketchbook has just been updated. On desktop, ArtRage has just been updated. There is so much going on, it's untrue. So it's really cool. So art applications... And then Kickstarter, there's loads of stuff happening on Kickstarter. There's the ones that we've already talked about. But there are two ones that really make me smile on Kickstarter at the moment. One is called Luma, and it is somebody wants to take to Burning Man in America. They want to take a wooden spaceship structure that's filled with lights, and people can come along and move the lights around and change them around. And then at the end of it, they can set fire to it. Which I think is interesting. So if you type in Luma on Kickstarter, you'll get that. But the other one that I'm so looking forward to is called Pixel Press. And it is a piece of grid paper that you draw on, and you draw particular symbols, particular moves and whatever. And you take a picture of it with an iPad or an iPhone, and it turns it into a 2D side-scrolling computer game. So there's no code required. All you do is you draw on this piece of paper on a grid. It translates what you've done into your own Mario type iOS device side scroller. I have backed it, or I backed it on the first day in the first hour. But I'm trying to talk my college into backing the teacher pack because I want to do this with my students. I want to give them a piece of paper and say, there you go, draw a game. And then texture a game, draw the colors of a game, make it your own. And in an hour's time, we'd have a computer game that they have made. So Pixel Press on Kickstarter. I love the look of that.
Isn't that what Surface is doing at the moment, though? If you send in a drawing, they'll make it for you. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Jeffrey, your pick, sir.
All right, so my pick actually kind of fits in well with the theme today, and it's Paper by 53 for the iPad. Now, this is an app that's been out for a while now, but they just did an update for it this week that adds in a feature that I've been wanting since the beginning. You now can zoom in on part of your drawings. So I should probably back up just a little bit. For people that don't know what Paper by 53 is, it's a drawing app for the iPad. And it's very simple. They tried to mimic what a sheet of paper would be like for drawing and sketching, but as a digital thing. And so you can get the app for free. And then if you want to have more tools to draw with and paint with in the app, then you can do in-app purchases and increase your art supply. And what they added this week is the ability to pinch and zoom and make a magnifying glass on the page so that you have an area where you can do more finer detail in your drawings. And it's a very cool app. This is actually my single most favorite drawing app on the iPad. And adding in the ability to have a zoom so I can put finer details into my drawings, that's just kick-ass.
Who the hell is someone?
That's
opened,
not me again. You keep blaming me. It's not me.
Someone opened a coal mine somewhere behind him.
No, actually, that's
that
me.
Not me.
Sorry about that.
This has been a noisy show. Never mind. It happens. It doesn't normally all happen on one show. 53, mate, is they make Paper is a fantastic app, isn't it? Just beautiful.
Oh yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
I just
even if
it.
You can't draw, you can draw with 53.
Right.
It's good. Kelly, what have you got for us, girl?
Okay, I already kind of showed them to you once already, but I'm going to show them to you again. I should have picked them last week. I'm a little off in my timing because last week we had Star Wars Day. And for people who don't know what that is, it's something that nerds thought was funny and has turned into a thing. It's not the day Star Wars was released, which is what my family was under the impression it was. Star Wars movies were all released at the end of May. It's the 4th of May is Star Wars Day because May the 4th be with you.
It's the day that everyone stops fighting in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, there you go. So this week, instead of last week, it should have been. But yeah, we had Star Wars Day and then Free Comic Book Day and then and Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great week. So what I'm going to pick this week is from Mimobot, and Mimobot makes flash drives, and they make adorable little characters. They have a variety of characters. These just happen to be the three that I have. I have it's this one. It's not just a stormtrooper, mind you, and I'm not going to be able to take the cap off now, am I? It is the Han Solo stormtrooper. So...
Very good.
It's super cute. The Darth Vader also, the top comes off as well. The mask comes off, and it's you either get old style End of Return of the Jedi Darth Vader, or you get new style Anakin, freshly helmeted Darth Vader. It's like a random thing you have to pick. But they all have this like tall head situation happening. Where the head is very tall. Mimobot also makes Hello Kitty flash drives for those of you who are like me, girls who need a good flash drive. And then they also have like
for
DC
whom you
Comics.
Are a major customer, major with a capital M.
It's basically me. And then but they have like Transformers. They have those. They have some Adventure Time ones. The DC stuff is pretty cool. They make some Halo flash drives. There's a limited edition Star Wars one right now where you can get Han Solo, but instead of the little zippy pouch they give you for your to put your guys into, he comes with carbonite. I know. And you can get Slave Girl Leia as a little Mimo bot, and you know, if that's too many clothes. There's R2-D2, and you can get all kinds of other ones. DC Comics, they have a line of those, so you can get, like, Batman and Green Lantern as different varieties of Green Lantern and Superman. If you feel very meta, you can get the Flash Drive. They're really cool, and the other nice thing about them is that when you put them into your computer, they have a little pack of, like, images and sounds and stuff that you can use. So mine all have a different variety of Star Wars stuff upon them. And then the Hello Kitty ones are super cute. And I think they're kind of neat. And then they're also distinctive, because I have some others that are super plain, your standard issue flash drive. And this is a really good way to make sure you know which one is yours.
So what you're saying is you and Mr. Kelly aren't eating this month and you're not putting fuel in the car.
Oh, no, I've had these for a long time.
Oh, right. Okay.
So no.
That's the excuse my wife uses with shoes.
No. Nothing like that.
I've had these.
Yeah, and they're really reasonably priced for being a fancy flash drive. Like, you can always get, you know, the little SanDisk nerd shiv for cheaper with the little slide-out USB thing. But I like these, and then, because apparently the cool thing to do is to hang everything on your keys, these have a little latch on the back.
Lovely.
And you zip your little dude into the hoodie. They call it a hoodie. So you zip your little guy in there, and you can clip it to your keys or your backpack or, you know, the thing on your keys that holds your MagSafe adapter, whatever.
Superb. iBookery in the chat room reminds us that May the 4th is the day that there is half-price tacos at the cantina on Tatooine. And Windrider has pointed out that the May the 4th is also an important day. May the 4th be with you, yes, but 2 days later it's Revenge of the 6th.
Well, that's because of Cinco de Mayo.
I like that. Revenge because of the 6th.
May the 4th be with you. Cinco de Mayo. Revenge of the 6th.
There we go. Adam, what do you have for us, mate?
I am going to pick, because I mentioned earlier that I can never remember when stuff came out from Apple, I am going to pick the fabulous Mac Tracker.
Oh, MacTracker.ca,
which it's donationware, so if you use it, please support this guy, because he's been doing it for years. But it's an app. They have it for iOS as well, and it is just a database of information about every product that Apple has ever made, produced. And you can go in there and you can find out things like, we were wondering about the launch date, I think, for iOS 3. So I can see that iOS version 3, build number 7A341, came out on June 17th, 2009. So a lot of people ask me, you know, like, how do you remember all this stuff about the different models? So it's got all your Macs in there. It's got all your devices in there, the server devices. You know, if you want to know, the third generation Apple TV came out on March 2012 and what the model number is and the identifiers, just has every bit of detail and information that you could possibly want. Then on top of that, you can keep track of all the things that you own in here. So you can find the devices that you own. How many times have you had that thing where you need to go in and they want to know, okay, which model number do you have? Or you're looking up, an update came out and it says, oh, this is for the mid 2014. 2011, you know, MacBook Pro with whatever, you know, and you're like, I don't know if that's the one that I have. You can go in here and you can add all that information in here, and it'll keep track of your Apple cares too. You know, whether you're in warranty, whether you're getting close to ending your warranty, whether you're out of warranty. So,
is that the one that has the startup sounds of every Mac as well on it?
It does have the startup sounds of every Mac.
That sounds fun.
So if you want to hear your old classic Mac startup sound, you can do that as well. And you can put in your own notes and additional information, but, you know, it'll tell you all the connectors and expansion ports that it had. I mean, every little bit of detail you could ever possibly want to know about every device. And it has an icon for each device, too, so it'll show you what it looks like. Somewhere in here, there's usually under the history, there's a photo of the actual product. So if you're looking for that, I mean, it's just awesome. And like I said, it's been around for years, and on every Mac and every device I own, because inevitably someone's going to ask me about a specific model, and I'm going to go, I don't really remember.
So good man. Good man. Great pick. I've used that a lot. Now then, brace yourself and grab on something steady, because the Earth is about to shift. Dr. Happy Mac had actually put the link in the chat room, in the doc, before the show had even started.
Nah.
DHM, yes. Away you go, mate. What's your cool thing?
two. I'll do the bonus one first and then the software first. So, of course, I mean, following on, bit of an art-flavoured show, so I'm going to go with a new edition of an old favourite. If you get, like, a load of comic book geeks and everyone together in the room in one place and they'll start talking about which was the best graphic novel of all time, they'll generally descend and hum and haw and have a fight and they'll come up with Watchmen. And everyone will say, oh, Watchmen, yes, yes, that's Watchmen, blah, blah. Of course, they're wrong. It's not Watchmen. It's The Ballad of Halo Jones, which is also by Alan Moore, so they're almost half right. But originally sort of released with an Ian Gibson cover, which complements the art inside, but re-released with a far sort of more contemporary and what they're describing as a mainstream cover. It's pretty much the graphic novel. It was designed as a graphic novel for girls originally. But it's kind of like, obviously, for both. It's just a fantastic story about one woman's adventures in the universe. And the artwork is just absolutely sublime. And Alan Moore's writing is, as always, spot on. So my thing is, get over to Amazon, get yourself a copy of the reissued one, The Ballad of Halo Jones. There. It's only £9.65, already discounted from £13.99. I've managed to get my copies, a slightly older copy. So here we go with video again with the Ian Gibson cover, which is obviously, if you want to try it, you want to get that one because Ian Gibson is that. And inside you've just got the most fantastic black and white artwork ever created. If you look at the artwork in Watchmen, I mean, everyone raves about Dave Gibbons, but I've always found him extremely static. There doesn't seem to be any life in it. The artwork in Halo Jones is just full of life and full of excitement and weirdness going on. It's brilliant. There you go. That's the bonus.
Actually, sorry, DHM, can I just jump in a sec for that?
Yeah.
Because DHM and I were having a lovely chat last night about comic strip artwork of the 80s and 90s, and Halo Jones is just so beautifully drawn. But he's spot on about Watchmen as well. The colourist on Watchmen is a very talented comic strip artist as well. And I've always wanted to live in the alternative universe where he drew Watchmen, because Dave Gibbons has never done anything for me whatsoever. But Halo Jones, absolutely fabulous. Everybody should own it and have a retro, because it's so important to comic history.
Excellent.
Can we start a comic show?
Yes. The comic show, yeah, quite happily.
Quite absolutely. Happily.
You guys make it, I will post it. The comic show. All you got to do is mention UK2, and that's it.
Okay.
I would love to do a comic show.
Unfortunately,
well, that seems like a done deal then.
I wandered down the aisle at my library and recently, like a week ago, I was looking for something else and took a turn and went down the graphic novel aisle. And so I picked up Sandman. I'm rereading Sandman. I just finished rereading the first Sandman. I'm doing Dark Empire right now. Mm-hmm. The trilogy, they've put it on a single volume. And when you live in the same city as Dark Horse, your library has a lot of comics to choose from. So, yep. I have a wide variety of stuff that I can read. So I've been, like, devouring them. So I have, like, four or five more on hold that are waiting for me with all the books I got about trying to figure out what on earth I'm going to do with my backyard. So
did you come back with half the store, Kelly?
No, not half.
I don't know how it happened, darling. I just found myself in the aisle. And they just jumped in my basket.
I went to the library. I do have a couple of long boxes out in the garage that have my collection in them. There's not very many that I wish to keep. There are many that I want to read, but not very many that I want to preserve forever.
So. Excellent. My
actual pick.
Oh God, Jesus Christ!
This is,
the cool things is meant to be 10 minutes, not 40 minutes of the bloody show.
But anyway,
one pick and one pick only starting next week on Viber.
What?
One pick and one kick only on Viber next week.
All right. So anyway, I don't understand. I've loads of clients, people that like writing things, and they all. Why do people write creative stuff in Word? They do it because they got Word. They should be using Scrivener, which was a pick ages ago by Literature and Latte, British company. They've released a new bit of software called Scapple, which is Scapple. And it's a note-taking and link-making application, which is yours for the grand total of $14.99. And it's a kind of like free-form link this to that, put this in here, link this in this direction thing. And it's just very free-flowing, really simple to use. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant sort of trial system where you get 30 days, where but not 30 days, you get 30 actual days. So if you use it for an hour every day, you could not pay for it for a year because you get however many hours there are in 30 days, not just 30 days, which is super cool. Wow. And the licensing is excellent as well because you buy it and you get a license for every computer that you own, even though it's not actually on the App Store for some reason. There is a Mac App Store version, but it's not the, you get the direct sale version.
Okay, good pick. Thank you, mate. My pick's Acorn 4. I've had a little play with it this week since Bookery mentioned it on Twitter when he, Jeff and I were having a bit of a confab over the Creative Cloud thing. I've been so impressed with it. If you're using Adobe Photoshop Elements 11 or something like that, then you're not going to be disappointed with that. It gives you all the functionality of that and a little bit more. It's got a RAW editor, which is in some areas more powerful than the one that's in Photoshop. And it opens all the latest RAW files. It did my 60 instantly with the update. So superb application. Can't recommend it highly enough. And if you want to spend £20 and stick the finger up to Adobe, it's the perfect purchase.
I moved to Acorn 4 years ago, and I love it. And I bought Elements because I thought I needed Elements because I was using CS3. And I absolutely cannot stand the UI on Elements. It's a piece of crap.
Yeah. Functionality's huge as well.
Don't hold back, Adam. How do you really feel?
I hate it. I have to go into it every once in a while. There's like one little thing with a Photoshop file I might get that I have a trouble figuring out how to do in Acorn, but that's like so rare, and I'll pop open Elements because that's all I have other than CS3. And when I upgraded Mountain Lion, CS3 stopped working. So Acorn's my editor of choice.
Excellent. It is good. I've only been in it a while, but it is great. And the features are full, absolutely featureful. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Kirkle?
If you go to www.kercal.co.uk, that's got links to the YouTube and the Flickr and all sorts.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And will you be there Monday night as well, Paul?
No, not this Monday. We've got something. We've got so much happening at the college. It's untrue. We're okay. Going to be at the Comic-Con 24th to 26th. We've got all sorts. But we've also found out today that we're being Ofsted-ed Monday to Wednesday.
Oh, lovely.
So to be honest, it's been one of those days, really.
Ofsted is our governmental watchdog for education, if you didn't know, which is...
Yeah. Well, if Michael Gove's Stalin, but with comedy values, then Ofsted are his little army of minions.
Yeah, and there is gulags.
Yes. Actually, I shouldn't joke about it. It's a nasty, ugly, horrible little process. So I'm not really looking forward to the next week at all.
My daughter's little kind of kindergarten-y school has just got an outstanding report. So they do.
Ooh,
they
good
do
for them.
They do good stuff.
They do. There was a school near to me. I can't say which one it was because I think they were in a bit of a dispute about it. But they had a 96% rating for attendance, and they only got satisfactory. And I thought, you just can't win, really, sometimes.
Mm. 96 is low, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If a kid's sick, bring him in, register them. Then
no, Ellis only gets 3 absences, and then that's it. His figure goes below acceptable.
That's over a whole school. That's just... All you need is flu, and then suddenly you're not... Yeah, anyway, don't get me started. Not my favourite people.
Righto. Jeff, where are you, mister?
Well, you can find me at macobserver.com, and tying back into everything that we've been talking about today, I've written several articles about the whole Adobe Creative Cloud thing, and also wrote up a story about the Mighty and the Napoleon projects. So go check those out over there. You can find me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut at both places. And if you want to see what happens in coffee shops when I go hang out there, go check out freshbrewedtales.com.
Excellent, mate. I can't wait to play with Mighty. I do want to try it.
Mm, mm.
Where are you, Kelly?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net both as Verso. And you can also find me on the Tua Talk Cast. We record Sunday evenings, U.S. time. And let's see. You can find me here. And you can occasionally find me as a guest host on Angry Mac Bastards.
Excellent, mate. Adam, where are you, sir?
I am over at maccast.com, also Maccast on Twitter and app.net. And then I also do a iOS show with Jeff and Michael Johnston called We Have Communicators at whcpodcast.com.
Excellent. And DHM?
Yep, at Dr. Happy Mac on Doctor... Twitters, at Dr. Happy Mac on app.net. Dr. Happy Mac via Google. That's pretty much nails it. Dr. Happy Mac.
And
there's a jingle there, isn't there? Are you happy with your Mac, Dr. Happy Mac? La la la.
I'm sure someone will write it for you. Are you going to the bash, mate?
What?
Are you going to the bash?
I've bought tickets and everything.
Not only that, you were the first person to buy a ticket.
Rock.
Yes, see, the bash is on the 6th of July. Are you coming? That's the question you've got to ask yourself, because in 2 weeks' time, you won't be coming because there won't be any tickets on sale. They will go off sale at the end of May. The reason being, I have got to confirm the venue at the end of May, and it's £400 just for the venue. So if you're not coming, then I need to know, because we'll have it at a smaller venue that'll be cheaper and we won't do as many people, and the tickets will stop off sale. So go and buy a ticket at the British Tech Network website, and it'll cost you £20. All your beer, all your food is provided for the whole day. You don't need to do a damn thing except turn up and bring anything that you want to wear for the day, which, based on some of the comments that's been on the big show and some of the things that Batwinch has bought off the internet... There could be rather interesting attire floating around, and some of it won't be floating. It'll be firmly fixed.
You did say that the kids are coming, right?
Yeah, there's kids coming, but they won't see where it's fixed. Under 12s come free of charge. There's loads of kids coming. Several people are bringing their kids to it. It'll be a fun, family-friendly day. There'll be loads of prizes. 12 South are going to chuck over a few stuff. I think Insanely Great are going to send some things over as well. So there'll be prizes to give away during the day for anything that we fancy. And we'll do the World Card Cutting Championships as well. There we go. And also, you can do a curry the night before. All you need to do is click on the banner below the British Tech banner and you'll see a £10 voucher. That voucher will get you £10 off your curry and it'll reserve you a table. Plain and simple. So you'll get £10 off your bill. There we go. Book your ticket in the next 2 weeks or there will be none. I'm not bluffing. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Different group of people. Thanks for listening.